So welcome back, everybody. It's been a long break for us. It's good to see so many familiar faces, have you back with us again. You know, our fall season went well with the three presentations there. Look forward to the three presentations this winter. So hope you all had a good Christmas and New Year celebrations. A lot has been going on since we last got together. And right now, at least in Chicago, we're between two winter storms. One came in on Tuesday, but turned mainly rain, so that was okay. But one is starting tonight. It's supposed to have several inches by tomorrow afternoon. So I was mentioning that to Jenny, and she gets excited about snow. She says, send the snow their way.
Send it my way.
Well, hopefully we can. Yeah, hopefully we can do that. So tonight, as you were told in the announcement, Jenny Blass is our presenter, and she'll be talking on the gift and grace of God's compassion. Jenny has a long relationship with a lot of the Passionist family out in the Eastern provinces, worked in some of their retreat centers. And if you noticed in the biography, her background is the spiritual exercise of St. Ignatius. So she has a great Jesuit background, and then she has a great Passionist background. So I think we'll have a very strong and interesting presentation tonight. But I'd like to ask Robin to say a little bit about Virginia, because the two of them have known each other for years and years back in the East. So, Robin, do you want to?
Yeah, I just want to say something about her book. I know Jenny for many years. She's both a wonderful person and a great spiritual guide. And she has this book published by Paulus Press, Experiencing God's Compassion. And Paulus Press asked me to write a little thing on the back about it. So I wrote this. This lovely book is a source of deep wisdom from an experienced spiritual guide. Virginia Blass reflects on stories from the Bible and from her own life and ministry to help readers grow in their relationship with God, who is always searching for us. She also has a blurb on the back from James Martin, the Jesuit, which is much more important than mine. But anyway, so it's a fine little book, and it's I'm sure we're going to hear a lot of it in her presentation tonight, which will be great for all of us.
Great.
Thank you, Robin. So before Jenny begins, I thought we'd begin with a prayer, a reflection to help focus our thoughts. And it's one we're familiar with, St. Teresa of Avila, in her reflection on Christ has no body. And I think that is what we're going to be talking about, that gift of compassion also has to be given to others, so that Christ has a body of presence today. So this is what St. Teresa wrote. Christ has no body on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassionately on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. So I'll turn it over to you, Jenny.
Hey, thank you so much, Father Don. Thank you, Robin. I will be sharing my screen with you for a PowerPoint to accompany us. But before we do, I just want to say how delighted I am to be with all of you, and especially because of the very strong and profound Passionist connection that this group brings, which touches my heart and my life as well. So very, very, very grateful to be with you. And I have been listening to some of the previous presentations. I intend to listen to them all. They're excellent. And the one I just listened to a little while ago, Paul, your presentation, I did really love it. Thank you so much. So with that, I am going to share my screen. And we'll do slideshow from beginning. Should be able to all see that. And I think there's a bar I want to get rid of here. There we go. That should be gone now. There we are. So as we continue in this wonderful Passionist Family presentations throughout the year, and the focus tonight on compassion, using our time together, I'd like to move through really four different areas of focus, followed by blessings upon you, Passionist blessings upon you to send you. So these are the areas, I believe you've received this information ahead of time, but God's compassion is the very first outpouring of love, being transformed by Christ's compassion, personal story of compassion, and then being sent forth as carriers of God's compassion on earth and for all. So that's how we will proceed. In between those areas of focus, I'm simply going to invite you to about a minute or so of your own silent reflection, you know, no breakout group, and then we'll just continue, and we'll follow the same pattern as you are familiar with these presentations. So Mr. Eckhart, you know, back in 1260 through 1327, you remember he was a German Catholic theologian, a philosopher, a mystic, who lived in what's now present-day Germany. He is quoted as saying, the very first outpouring of God is compassion. You may call God love, you may call God goodness, but the best name for God is compassion. We just let those words kind of seep into us as we begin. And from the incarnational point of view, we know that with the incarnation, yes, there's God's salvific action in human history, and it was an outpouring of love. You know, a lot of times, or at least when I was younger, we can think of the incarnation. Sometimes we can get too pulled of, well, we were sinners and we were broken and we needed redemption, and all of that's true. But we can forget that it was God's outpouring of love for us that was deeply immersed in the whole Trinitarian incarnation with us and with all of earth. God desires to be with us in relationship. God desires to draw close to us. And we remind ourselves that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so I just like to put photos up of us as we are now, and you could put your own. And God has seen all from the very beginning until right now in this present moment. And God desires to be with us. And from Théod de Chardin, so here we are with the Jesuit, a French Jesuit priest, scientist, paleontologist, theologian, philosopher, and teacher. Many of you are so familiar with him and his writing. And I connect him with Tom Berry, of the Passionists, and the new retreat house that's now in Jamaica, New York. But from Théod de Chardin, there is a communion with God and a communion with earth and a communion with God through earth. And I just share those words that even as we begin to ask God for the grace of being immersed in this Trinitarian action for us, this love, this compassion, there's no separation, there's no putting in boxes. You know, God didn't enter the world just for me or us, it's for all of creation, the earth included, and we can't exist without the earth. So there's such a communion and union with all that is. And so I wanted to bring attention to Earth's beauty that God created and God intended, and intended for our joy and entering in. There's such beauty in the heart of God, in all of creation. And once again, you could put your own photos of what you see and what you believe represents Earth's beauty. As Saint Irenaeus of Lyon has said, creation and salvation are one singular divine act of God's will. So that's beautiful to me. There it is together. And Thomas Merton, God created the world in order to enter into it, which is very fascinating. And Karl Rahner, Jesuit, love was the reason why God drew near to us. God could not bear being apart from us. And from John Donahue, Jesuit, God was and is in love with us and all of creation. And Christ is the center of the story of incarnation. Again, we get this sense of compassion was the first outpouring of God and still is. And from Pope Francis and his Laudato Si on care of our common home, everything is interconnected, and this invites us to develop a spirituality of that global solidarity which flows from the mystery of the Trinity. From the mystery of the Trinity. And in that, Pope Francis goes on to talk about us as in our as a human person, that we grow more and more and mature, and we're sanctified more to the extent that we enter into relationships, going out from ourselves to live in communion with God and others and all creatures. And that's the mystery of the Trinity, that Trinitarian dynamism that exists in us by God's design. And this beautiful icon, as we're very familiar with, entitled The Trinity by Andrei Rublev. Interestingly, and originally it depicted three angels who visited Abraham, and that's written in Genesis in 18. But the painting, this icon, has become symbolic to express the Holy Trinity. And at the time of Andrei Rublev, the Holy Trinity was the embodiment of spiritual unity, peace, harmony, mutual love, and humility. And this icon was believed to have been painted in the first half of the 15th century. And in light of that, the Trinity, the mystery of the Trinity in all of creation, the Trinity is deeply in love with us in all of creation. And from John Donahue, Jesuit, in his writing, The Gospel in Parable, as we know, and as Passionists we know, compassion means to suffer with. God's compassion for all of us and all of creation flows out of the deepest part of God's being. It's deeply in love with us. It's just always there. It will never go away. And so let's imagine the Trinity today. Sometimes we imagine the Trinity looking down upon the world as they, you know, were looking upon us and decided to send Jesus to us. Well, the Trinity is looking down on us now and desires to see us in joy and love and peace. And again, you could put up photos to represent the joy and the love and the peace in your life and what you see in the world. And by the way, this that's Watson. He's the white lab friend of mine. He's He has the most personality of a dog I ever met. And so the Trinity, if we can imagine, is also looking down presently, eternally, and seeing the reality of our lives in even our suffering, and is aware and hears the cry of the poor and the silent cry of our earth. And we might want to do this tonight or as we go forward in the days to imagine the Trinity conversing about our suffering, our need, our brokenness, aware of our desires, our longings, our joys and sorrows. You know, we're not separated. It's an intimate union. From Father Robin Ryan, I'm pleased is with us. Divine suffering. We cannot know what divine suffering is like. God is affected, yet God remains, yet remains God. This divine, compassionate solidarity with human suffering manifests the depths of God's love. And from Father Richard Rohr, Franciscan priest, well-known and prolific writer, I believe, if I am to believe Jesus, that God is suffering love. If we are created in God's image, and if there is so much suffering in the world, then God must also be suffering. How else can we understand the revelation of the cross? And as Passionists, you know that. And from Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, many of you recall him. He was the Polish-American rabbi. He was once a leading Jewish theologian in the 20th century. He has written, God is the most moved mover, a God of great pathos who weeps when people suffer, is angered when they mistreat one another, and gladdened when they pursue the right and the good. That's our God. And so I invite you for just a few moments, a minute or so, in your own mind and heart to reflect. Imagine what it is like for the Trinity to continue to look upon the world as it is today. How is the Trinity moved with compassion for all of us and all of creation? Consider their desires for you, everyone, and all of creation. Let's just take a moment in that reflection right where you are. And so now let's consider, again, as you know so well, that we are, by this compassion of God and the compassion of Christ, where we are transformed. I like to say we have movable hearts. It's a great grace to have a movable heart. I remember, Paul, in your presentation just recently, you spoke about the different virtues and being open and what sin is. You know, it's like to not even bother to love, to not have a movable heart. Because we have been loved first and encountered our personal loving God in some very real way. And of course, as a Passionist family, we view the world and our experiences through the lens of the cross, immersed within our experience of God's compassion. And that changes everything, doesn't it? And from 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 5, there's a tremendous encouragement here, as we can recall. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and God of all encouragement, who encourages us in our every affliction, so that we may be able to encourage those who are in any affliction with the encouragement with which we ourselves are encouraged by God. For as Christ's sufferings overflow to us, so through Christ does our encouragement also overflow. Now we're really, are we not in the heart of this gift and grace of compassion? You know, it's not a thing. It's not like I wake up in the morning and I say, gee, do you have compassion today? It's not a thing. It's an experience. It's in relationship with God and others. And it's in the heart of this experience that God sends us to touch the lives of another, and transformation happens. You know this, you live it. St. Paul of the Cross, as we know, has said, Christ crucified is the work of love, the miracle of miracles of love, the most stupendous work of the love of God. So I'm sure you have many places in scripture where they're near and dear to your heart, about where you have come to know Jesus more in his compassion and experience Jesus in his compassion for you, may have broken open with the scripture for you. Just very briefly, three places in Luke that we're so familiar with, but I'd like to bring attention to. In Luke 7, the widow from Nain, and we recall that story where Jesus comes upon this funeral procession, so to speak, and he realizes that this widow has just lost her son. And he's totally aware of the culture of that day and the potential impact on that woman for being a widow and then losing her son could have been extraordinary, financially, socially, religiously, inclusion. And he was so deeply moved for her plight that he stopped and entered in some capacity to that funeral procession and went to the coffin. And we know what happened, that he brought back to life her dead son and brought that son to her, saying, do not weep. And he gives dead son back to this woman. And not only is he bringing alive the son back to life, but he's giving life back to this woman. All moved from the right from his being of compassion. And we can recall in Luke 19, Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. We know that Jesus's mission, his desire, his compassion in unity with the Father and the Spirit for what he was trying to bring about and all the obstacles brought him not just to tears, but to weeping deep in his soul. We encounter a brokenhearted Jesus. And in Luke 15, the return of the prodigal son, so well known. I'm sure there's many dimensions of that story that you like or are drawn to. But we can focus on the father, of course. And we know the story of when the son just decided he wanted to take the inheritance and leave, step out of relationship with his father, just do what he wanted to do, and he squandered the money and took off. And we know his plight. And his plight became quite serious, I think, to the point where he could have died of hunger and the situation he was in. And he comes to his senses, realizes that if he can just try to make his way back and just kind of be a servant of some sort with his father, that's better than what's going on right now. So we know that's one of the motivations, that he gets up and makes his way back. And then we see the father. We can only imagine the father, who was grieving and has never stopped grieving and was always searching for his son. I pictured him always looking out windows. And then that moment came when his searching, he sees his son. I'm sure at first he thought, who is that? That can't be true. But there is his son. And we know what happens. He is so deeply moved. He catches sight of him and he's filled with compassion. And he runs to his son, embraces him and kisses him. And we know what happens, brings him back in to the family, brings him back into right relationship with him, and has a party and celebration. And so our attention is now turned to the father, who is so full of compassion. And the result of compassion, of the restoration of relationship, isn't that true? Because of compassion. And that story just teaches us of what God wants to continually do for us in our lives and in the lives of anyone in the world and in the situation in the world, to restore relationship. And it's because of compassion. This is our Jesus. This is our God. And this is who we're called to be as Passionists. So compassion, as we said in the title, God's grace in action with us, God's grace. It is a mystery, like so many things, but it's a mystery rooted in love. So we trust this mystery. We trust God. We trust Jesus. And this experience of compassion, this is where we just want to take a breath and just say, yes, God, thank you. Isn't it a sacred experience of deep intimacy with Christ, with God, with us and others? It's that place of intimacy. So we said again, it's not a thing, it's an experience and deep intimacy that God has prepared for us in our minds and hearts, where we are transformed to become more and more like Christ. And a lot of times, perhaps you can recall an experience where the experience of Christ's compassion for you, or God's compassion for you, was indeed a consolation for you in some way. You may have been suffering in some way. And to experience God's presence with you in your suffering as a consolation and transformed you to continue forward in your life and to help others. And I love what the Dalai Lama says. Perhaps you've come across this and read it. It's compassion is also a source of our happiness. He has taught, and I quote, "It is my fundamental conviction that compassion, the natural capacity of the human heart to feel concern for and connection with another being, human being, constitutes a basic aspect of our nature shared by all human beings, as well as being the foundation for our happiness." You know, and research scientists, they're proving this, you know, they're telling us this, but we know it. And we who have the gift of the Passionist charism, we know this. We see it, we experience it, we experience it from our God. That God puts this compassion in our hearts. It's in our being for us to discover and mature into in our lives, for ourselves and others in our earth. So time for two stories, if I may. One, I asked permission to tell this. Some of you, and I chose this as well, they're dear friends of mine. Natalie and Ernie Ravide, and they're passionist associates. And if you know them, you may have known of their recent story of suffering with their son, Greg. I have their complete permission to just share a little bit of it. And the focus is, this comes from Ernie, of his sharing of how compassion of God and through Mary is transforming him. His son, Greg, who's in his 40s, he has some challenges. And several months ago, needed to go through an operation. And as a result of that operation, it caused lots of problems. And there was something that was left behind and caused some serious damage to him. And all of a sudden, he was back in the hospital, practically paralyzed. And the doctors not understanding, and Natalie and Ernie not knowing whether their son would even walk again, or to what extent the quality of his life would return. And so I quote, "I think most of us have in some ways experienced the love and the agony of our mother of sorrows." And Natalie and Ernie went on to tell me of the torment of not knowing and sitting by his side in the hospital and simply not knowing what would happen, and that he suffered tremendously. In the last month and a half, we have watched as our son was stripped of his clothing, tormented, even tortured in body and mind, immobilized while not being able to use his arms and legs. We pray for strength and the grace to remain faithful. We pray for healing. We pray for miracles. And the more that Ernie shared deeply with me, underneath it all and in direct communication with him, there was not a desperation, but there was a communion, a union with Mary as mother of sorrows, full of compassion, sharing with Ernie on a very deep level what it was like for her with her experience of Christ, and Ernie able to share with her of his experience of his son. And there was a deepening there with compassion in his life. And so I thank Natalie and Ernie for a sharing of that with us, especially as they are passionist associates. And we continue to pray for Greg, their son. And a story from my own life, if I may. In that photo, you'll see my mom. It's an old photo. My sister Joni's in the wheelchair. She has since gone to God. And that's my little niece, and she's in her 40s now and is married with a son. But I love that photo. It tells the story. Joni was born with cerebral palsy and never walked or talked. And she grew up in my home, our home, for 18 years. And my parents cared for her. And she needed total, absolute total care, feeding, diapering, everything. And then there reached a point in time where Joni would throw these certain fits and my parents needed more help. And she was placed in a care facility. And then we moved to be within 4 miles of that care facility so that my parents continued to take her home every other day. So she got the best of both worlds. And I was very close with Joni, even though she couldn't talk. And I loved to make her laugh. And I was able to just teach her little things, like if I put three things on her desk in front of her, a brush, a toothbrush, and a cookie. Now we know what she loved the most, but I got her to learn that she would very spastically pick up the brush, and very spastically, she'd try to brush her hair, and I'd be like, "Yay, Joni, you got this. You go, girl." And then she'd take the toothbrush and she'd struggle in her spasticity, and she'd bring it to her mouth. "Joni, awesome, you're doing great. Okay, Joni, what's left?" "It's the cookie." And she'd spastically go for the cookie and enjoy the cookie, you know. So that's Joni. So we fast forward, and I was blessed to accompany my parents and Joni. There was a time in my parents' life, as we all know, with transition, where they needed help. And I helped them to transition from just getting 4 hours a day in the home to 24/7 in the home. And then that point in time, which is so hard, when they needed to transition to a nursing home. And all of that happened, and I was accompanying them. But during those years of caring for Joni, there was a time where Uncle Vinny, Father Vincent Youngberg, a Passionist priest, a great preacher, some of you know him, found this country place for us to go and take a vacation in Connecticut, like 90 acres, and it was heaven for me. And we could take Joni there. And on weekends, Uncle Vinny would come and visit us, and my grandparents would come. And the story is told, and I can tell it, and Uncle Vinny preached it for years, where when he visited and he would look in on all the care my mom was giving Joni and all the care it required, he approached her and simply said, "How can you possibly spend so much time with her, with someone that doesn't give you any love back? How can you do that?" To which my mom replied, "Listen, Vincent, I have something very important to tell you. God has put compassion in my heart. I love little Joni with the same compassion as God does. And by the way, Vincent, God loves you too." And I can only imagine that must have been a transformational moment for Uncle Vinny, all that compassion he's experienced with my mom and for him. The story goes on, as you know. He was a bachelor then out of World War II, driving a convertible DeSoto around. He was cool. He was my cool Uncle Vinny. And he made a retreat at the West Hartford Monastery. And he told me, when that retreat was over, that retreat weekend, he came down those stairs. He heard God invite him to become a priest. And he did. And he became a Passionist priest and changed the lives of thousands through his preaching and his just loving care. And to this very day, I continue to meet people in my own ministry who knew him and loved him. And everyone says how much he changed their lives. So, did it begin with my mom, Joni, God? Maybe all of the above, the gift of compassion. So I invite you now to just take another moment to reflect in your own mind and heart. How has your heart been transformed by an experience of God's compassion? Or perhaps you might want to reflect on what suffering and or joy deeply moves within your heart. Let's just take a brief moment for this reflection. So as we continue, we are beloved companions sent forth, and we are carriers of God's compassion for all and for all our earth home. As Passionists in the World, as you know, and I found this wonderful description from Father James Sweeney, who was at one time, I don't know if he still is, provincial of the Passionists of Britain and Ireland, committed to carrying the memory of the crucified and risen Christ in our own lives and in service with our brothers and sisters. We attend especially to those who are suffering and those neglected and rejected, upholding each one's human dignity, working for social and political structures, protecting our common home of the earth sustaining the faith and communion of the church, journeying as the people of God, seeking transformation of our world and our times in the image of Christ. That's all rooted, as we know, in compassion. Is that not true? And St. Paul of the Cross has said, the world lives unmindful of the sufferings of Jesus, which are the miracle of miracles of the love of God. We must arouse the world from its slumber. And from Pope Francis, in his encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, don't you love the sound of that? You know, I'd like you all to say that, to Fratelli Tutti. The mercy we have experienced can thus become a point of reference and a source of credibility, enabling us to recover a shared passion for building a community of belonging and solidarity worthy of our time, our energy, and our resources. That's you. That's the Passionist family. That's the gift in this world. So as carriers of God's compassion, we read from John Donahue again in the Gospel and Parable, compassion is the bridge between simply looking on injured and half-dead fellow human beings and entering their world with saving care. And as Henry Nouwen has said, compassion means full immersion in the condition of being human. Full immersion in the condition of being human. So with Christ's compassionate heart, so we know we've experienced this, we're transformed in loving relationship with Christ. And I just invite you to recall a time or times. Was it in an encounter this happened to you with Christ, with another? Was it a loving gaze? An experience with another? Or was it the realization, the fulfillment of some deepest desires of your heart? It's important for us as Passionists, as a Passionist family, to take time every so often to reflect on this, because isn't it true that then we're reclaiming the history of our own sacred heart with Christ? We have sacred hearts. And that continues to form our identity, and we come to know more of who we are called by God in this world. Carriers of God's compassion. And I'm sure, again, you have many places in scripture that you love, that inspire you about being a carrier of compassion. Certainly, again, Mary, the mother of Jesus, in so many places. I often am attracted and drawn back to what it must have been like for her to be in the upper room when there was so much confusion and grief, and she was there, and the support and the compassion and the guidance that she must have offered to the disciples and others. Or maybe the story of Mary Magdalene in John 20, after she experienced the risen Lord. And as we know, she had to come into that awareness. She thought he was the gardener, and she came to maturing faith and came to know who was in her presence. And she sent, as we know, and the beautiful title is given to her, the first apostle to the apostles. And she's sent by Jesus to go back. Now go, be a carrier of my compassion, of my truth, and bring it to the disciples and see what happens. And she does. And we hear her shout out to them, I have seen the Lord. And you have seen the Lord. And you are carrying that experience and that truth to others. Or don't you love Bartimaeus? I do. The story of Bartimaeus, who was blind. What I loved about Bartimaeus was, we know at the culture of that day that because he was blind, people who had challenges or disabilities, they kind of were put in a certain category, weren't they? So they're kind of an outcast, and you don't really have to pay attention to them at all. In fact, you can just walk right by them, and that's what they were trying to do. Bartimaeus, be quiet. Go away. Jesus doesn't want to see you. Just please go home. But he had desire. He had desire in his being, and no one would take that from him. And he heard that Jesus was passing by, and that's all he needed. And so he did what he could do and call out and call out and call out until he hears, bring him. And he has the encounter. And maybe for the first time, he experienced compassion from anyone. And it was so healing. And in that encounter, he tells Jesus, I want to see. And he receives even more than that. And Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately Bartimaeus receives his sight and he follows Jesus on the way. And scripture scholars, as you know, they believe that because he's named specifically in that scripture passage, that he indeed followed Jesus on the way and maybe became a disciple of his, but he certainly was a carrier of God's compassion for others. He could tell others what happened and who he met and how he felt and how he was healed. Or maybe the Samaritan at the well, we know from John 4, and at again the time of Jesus, under no circumstances would a Samaritan woman be allowed to talk to Jesus, or a Jew, no way, just isn't going to happen, and look at what happened. Compassion was involved there, and Jesus invited her. And on some level, she had to trust him, you know, because the conversation, the dialogue began. And she has an encounter. She experiences Jesus's compassion for her. And she goes back and says to her people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? And because of that, because she was that carrier, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. A carrier of God's compassion, power of God, the power of God's love, transformation. And it happens in all of us and in you every day. And aren't we called to also slow down and pay attention, because that grace of God's compassion is abundant. And we want to be aware, we want to receive, and we want it to flow in our day. So another story, and yes, I am so blessed with my mom, so I'm going to return to her. It's a brief story, but a carrier of God's compassion. So with what I shared with my family already, if we fast forward, yes, I helped my parents transition from their lovely home to go into nursing home. I was able to get my parents into the same nursing home on the same day. Yes, that's good news, but as you can imagine, and many of you who have helped others to transition, when you're a senior, that transition is first perceived as, it's heartbreaking, tormenting, to give up control, give up your home, go to a place you don't know and people you don't know, and there you are. And it was heartbreaking for my mom and for me and my dad. My dad lived in that nursing home for about 2 years and passed, and my mom went on to live about 12 years more than my dad in the nursing home. And I had moved down close to be with them, accompany them, and could visit quite often. And I did. And I got to know her friends, and I got to know the nurses. I got to know everyone. One day, a nurse came to me and said, I want to tell you something. When we get a new resident and they come in and they're really upset and they're crying and they think the world has ended, and their family has disowned them, which they haven't, and so on, and they're crying and they're very disturbed, we say, would you like to speak to someone, one of the residents? And if they say yes, guess who they asked? You're right, my mom. My mom was loved by everyone in that home, and she was so loved, she became the mayor of the nursing home. So the nurse said she would talk to them and help them. So I went back to my mom. I was wheeling her outside and all around. And I just said, Mom, this is what the nurse just told me. Mm-hmm. I said, Mom, you have a ministry here in the nursing home. You're 96 and you have a ministry. I do? Yes, you do. And I said, Mom, tell me, what do you do? Oh, she said, well, that's easy. I wheel my chair up next to them. And if they like, I take their hand. I hold their hand. And then I just tell them things that are true. I say, you're going to be very happy here. They're going to take very good care of you. They'll love you. And there's a lot of different things to do. And the food's not so bad. I'm like, Mom, that's amazing. And that was my mom. And she was a carrier of God's compassion all of her life, but it never ended. Even when she gave up our home and was in a nursing home for about 15 years, brought love. And I would come in on time, she wouldn't know. And I'd see her wheeling around in her wheelchair, going to someone who looked sad. And I'd ask her, she goes, they looked very sad. I said, oh, Mom, you know. So I was very blessed. And I have the witness of my mom. She was a carrier of compassion for me as well as so many. So we are transformers of our earth, our whole being, and the flights and the falls of our love and compassion enable us to undertake this task. So well said by the poet Rilke. We are transformers of earth, our whole being, and the flights and the falls of our love enable us to undertake this task. And that is you. And that is the Passionist community. And it is part of the Passionist charism. And God desires this. And God wants this compassion and charism to spread, because the world needs it so much. I invite you again to reflect, just again for about a minute. To whom and where have you been sent as a carrier of God's compassion? And we know that doesn't mean you have to leave the country or, you know, become a missionary, or that's beautiful and that may be your call. But most of the time for us, we're sent into the very reality of our lives. Where and to whom have you been sent? Or you might reflect on your life's sending, calling, vocation. And what are you most grateful to God for? Just take another minute for this reflection. And I'd like to bring closure to our sharing by just offering you some blessings as you go forth, Passionist blessings. And I'll begin with Paul of the Cross. Let these words flow over you and bless you. The power of the cross, which is the wisdom of God, gives us strength to discern and remove the causes of human suffering. That's right from the Passionist Rule and Constitutions. Blessings upon you from Paul of the Cross. And from Donald Sr., who passed in 2022 and who was at a Catholic Theological Union, international a biblical scholar. Finally, remembering the cross means remembering and paying attention to those in the world who bear the cross today, the disabled, the sick, the dying, the grieving, those isolated and alone. All who bear the burden of pain, Jesus identified himself with the least. Receive this blessing and encouragement from Father Donald Sr. and Father Robin Ryan in our midst. If we ignore or avoid those in pain, then we become much less than truly human. Such negligence diminishes us. Still, Father Ryan continues, the why questions never leave us. We have to live with open questions. It exists like an open wound in the world. Receive this blessing from Father Robin Ryan. And from Thomas, Father Thomas Berry, who we know was a well-known cultural historian, and he liked to call himself a geologian, who greatly influenced our understanding of our earth, was a mentor to many, and as I said earlier, is now the whole retreat house in Jamaica is dedicated to him. Our connection with earth is a sacred unity. There is a divine human relationship, a human-human relationship, and our earth-human relationship. If our life systems are not saved, then everything else is irrelevant. Blessings from Father Thomas Berry. And from Father Robert Jurger, former provincial, many of you may know him. Our wounds in life, no matter what they are, can bring us to wisdom. Our tears can bring us to tenderheartedness, and our struggles can bring us to compassion. Let those words bless you, Father Robert Jurger. And from St. Paul of the Cross again, let all creation help you to praise God. Listen to the sermon preached to you by the flowers, the trees, the shrubs, the sky, the sun, and the whole world. Notice how they preach to you a sermon full of love, of praise of God, and how they invite you to proclaim the greatness of the one who has given them being. Blessings upon you again from St. Paul of the Cross. And our earth. And I'd like to end with a blessing of Anima Christi, as we know is Latin for the soul of Christ, a Catholic prayer to Jesus. And they believe it's a medieval origins in the early 14th century. And you might want to just say this to yourselves and have Jesus bless you as we end. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Christ, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Do not allow me to be separated from you. From the malevolent enemy, defend me. In my hour of death, call me and bid me come to you, and that with you and all the saints, I may praise you forever and ever. Amen. And I do believe it's a time for a break.
Thank you, Virginia. We will be taking a 5-minute break, and then when we come back, we'll go into breakout rooms and have a short discussion, then we'll come back for a larger break.
Very good, thank you.
Robin. Unmute you.
Oh, question sorry. For you. I'm teaching a course this semester on God and the mystery of suffering, and our last author we're going to read is a Canadian Protestant theologian named Phil Zilla. He wrote a book called The Roots of Sorrow. He and his wife are parents of a daughter who was born with spina bifida, and she had 16 surgeries in the first 18 years of her life. But he has a principle that I'm not sure I agree with. You seem to indicate from quoting Dalai Lama that we are naturally compassionate. And Zilla argues that we're not naturally compassionate, that we're naturally indifferent, and that we have to overcome our indifference in order to become compassionate. So I'm not sure if I agree with him, but I was wondering what you think about that.
Well, it's very interesting. And I would say that both is probably true. If you look at us as human beings, and I'd say the part of us that still needs transforming, you know, we're going to be in that place of not being so compassionate. Perhaps a better way to say it is that God desires us to have that natural capacity to be compassionate and is giving us the grace. But as we know, it's not easy. And perhaps it's grace that we need so that we can reclaim that. But that's very interesting, Robin.
Go ahead, Dorothy.
I'm wondering, if it is, compassion isn't something that we learn and grow into. You know, like when I started nursing school, what were we, 19, 20? What did I really know at that particular point of real compassion? But once you're there and you're caring for, you know, people who are suffering or hurting or whatever, do we start to learn it? Maybe in little bits until we can finally, as we mature, apply it into our own lives. You know, so maybe we, I'm thinking that he may be a little, you know, right, where we don't really know it and don't have it, but we learn it and grow into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Dorothy.
Thank you.
And I certainly would, in the whole mystery of it, in the whole mystery of life and our relationships, it seems to me, from what I read in my own life, that it's pivotal to an encounter. So whether we're kind of born with it or not, or whether the sin or brokenness impacts us, doesn't it? But that encounter that we have either with another or with our earth or with Jesus, is that transforming moment, or it can be. And from that perspective, I do see it as a grace.
Don?
Am I unmuted?
You are.
Okay. Jenny, one of the images you used was in referring to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And then you mentioned we all have that Sacred Heart within us. I just thought that was a great image for me. But then you said we have to recognize it, see it, and then allow it to transform, be transformative for us in our own life. So in a way, yeah, we might not be born with compassion, but it's been put within us. Mm-hmm. And that it's just touching the Sacred Heart within us that helps transform that compassion into reality.
Thanks, Bob. That's good.
Thank you for that.
Clemente, were you trying to raise your hand? I saw you waving.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead. You're
I was. I was trying to wave, but I didn't get to the point where it was able to be seen as a comment. But I have a couple of observations, and I think along something that, of course, that the speaker has talked about, but Don just provoked in me. I think we all have the capacity for compassion, but I also think that we are constantly invited to enter into compassion. And so many times we choose not to enter into a more compassionate mode or a full compassionate embrace. I think that the will has a great deal to give us the ability to move forward from an outer distance to the suffering and embrace it close up. When we begin to make that leap from the outer limits to the interior, I think we begin to learn what compassion can be for ourselves and for others.
Great.
Yes.
Thank you, Clement. Thank you.
And Kathy in the pink shirt, I see you unmuted. Did you have something you wanted to say?
I'm sorry. No.
Okay. Great. Alex.
Thank you. I find that compassion follows humility. I think so often I feel inconvenienced by the very thing that I want to do, that is be available for reconciliation in awkward situations. And it never fails. My initial feeling is just not want to get involved in this. And it's a humbling process that brings me to true compassion from my own stubbornness, my own independence or isolation. So I find that the road to compassion is through humility. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Father Alex.
Andre. You're unmuted.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jenny, for your presentation. I feel that I've made a mini retreat this evening, and I'm very grateful. I believe that compassion takes flesh in human beings, and I appreciated the stories that you presented, and I particularly related to Uncle Vinny, since I knew Uncle Vinny for many years, and Vincent was my spiritual director for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I would journey to wherever he was living and spend time with him. And I found him to be an extremely compassionate person. I felt that I could always open myself up and that I would not be judged in any way, that I would experience God's love and compassion. So I believe very much from my own experience and many other stories, of course, that compassion takes flesh in human beings. And once again, thank you so much, Jenny.
Oh, you're welcome, Andre. God bless you.
I was just going to say, and sort of getting back to what Alex said, in the same way that I may have anger or disappointment or frustration come up, and then that's the feeling, that's the emotion, but then I have to make a choice. What do I do with that? I'm wondering if, yes, we all have compassion in ourselves and it comes up, but then for whatever reason, we choose or not choose to act on that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Taylor Bay. The experience of freedom is so important, isn't it? That, yeah. You know, you can't love without freedom, and that God gives us that. And that's a great mystery, because we're free to choose any action, whether it be of God and the Spirit or not. And I also kind of look at compassion too. I mean, in totally integrated with the human person developmentally. And, you know, we don't wake up one day and, at least in my experience, and we're totally, fully compassionate people. We've been touched. When we are touched, we'll desire that more. And we'll see more and more of the good of that. But like you said, Talib, we always have choices. And in our human broken condition, which may be something, Robin, that you might be touching on, which is so real and needs to be addressed and realized, is we're broken. And there's sin, and there's evil in the world, and that will always be in opposition to compassion. So it's kind of a dance. I never feel like, I personally, I don't feel we arrive at that on this side of the grave. It's very, very developmental. But there we are. And it is, I believe, a gift and a grace from God. And as passionists, we truly have experienced. We know this. It's in our heart, it's in our blood. You know, it's in our being, that gift of compassion.
Kathy.
Hey. I wanted to share, I shared in the breakout session, the awesomeness of the Holy Spirit and God. I have had a little shih tzu for many years, and we went to hospitals and nursing homes and visited the sick. And he just was a special angel. Very few dogs are able to do that. But and then we went to one particular place. It was a Medicaid facility, and he was loved there. And then when he passed on, I kept going. And at that point, I played Rummy Cube and different games with different people. And and I'm like in the activity center. So one day, a little lady raised her hand, and she said, I said, yes, Josephine. She said, no, I am a Catholic, and no one brings Holy Communion. I'm a Catholic, no one brings Holy Communion. So that's how it started, because I am a minister at our church and here in Houston, and give Holy Communion. So I started with a couple. And now it's branched out to, it's such a wonderful gift God gives me every Sunday afternoon. I'm there for a while. I go over and anywhere like maybe up to 11 people, I bring Holy Communion, but then I know enough other people, because this is a place where they're forgotten people. They're the lonely people. They're in their rooms. You know, they don't get out of bed on Sunday. So there's fewer in wheelchairs. So it's expanded now. And I'm just always like, thank you, God, when I walk out there, because it keeps getting better and better and better. It's this gift God is giving me, because, you know, even people that are not Catholic now, it's because I know them. I go in the room and I sit with them and I say, can we say the Our Father? I'm going to say the Our Father. And then sometimes, like when it was a few weeks ago on New Year's Eve, they were sitting out in the center, and there's a couple of them, and I was going to give Holy Communion. Well, everybody just join us. You know, you can all join us in prayer if you like. And they always say yes when I say, please join us in prayer. And it turned out to be a beautiful experience of people sharing. So it's just, that opportunity, and then the grace to say, yes, I want to do this. And then I wasn't getting a lot of cooperation from the staff there, but I went in one day, I just met them where they were at. I knew I had three people, and I saw them, they were playing Rummy Cube, and I sat down. I said, I'm not alone today. I said, and they looked around, I said, I have Jesus. And and I said, well, I can come back when you're finished. Oh, no, he's a Catholic too. So forever now, pointing out one more Catholic here. And then, you know, I lose some, they pass on or they leave. But I'm just so grateful that's, you know, when you least expect it, you're playing Rummy Cube and a little lady raises her hand, and an opportunity to be there and bring Jesus, and also just bring his love to the rest of them, bring the compassion of just, you know, talking to them. A smile means a lot to people that are just sitting there by themselves. So I'm just grateful to share this beautiful experience.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Jenny. That was a very blessed evening. I appreciate all your...
You're welcome, Kathy. Thank you.
Well, I'm aware of the time. Don, did you want to say any final words?
Thanks everybody for being here with us. It was a great evening, and Jenny, a special word of thanks to you. Your presentation was so well done. I really enjoyed it. I think we all really enjoyed it. But you know, behind the presentation was you, and I think through that presentation, you showed us your compassion, and that's you're a carrier of compassion. We thank you for that. So thanks for being with us tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And then,
pleasure to be with all of you. Thank you all. God bless you.
Oh, sure. And then just a reminder, next week, I got to put on my reading glasses here. If you want peace, work for justice. And that'll be Michael Anicello, who's also from, he's Eastern Province. He's up in Toronto or Ontario, I forget, and works with the Peace and Justice Organization. So we'll look forward to that February 15th. And remember, in February, it's the third Thursday, because the second Thursday was a conflict with he's going to be with one of the Passionist groups elsewhere. So the third Thursday, February 15th. So, okay. Again, thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of the month. I hope it goes well. You know, well, for here in Chicago, I hope we don't get too much snow.
Remember send to send the snow
send
my way.
Talking about it.
Yes,
send it my way.
All. Okay. Thank you.
God bless. God bless.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Night.